Numbers chapter 21, and we'll be reading the whole chapter this morning, and we thank God in His good providence that as we hear about Numbers chapter 21, the bronze serpent, we also will hear about that in our sermon today from John 3. And so we'll begin reading in verse 1 of Numbers chapter 21. These are the words of the living and true God. So give your attention, your full attention to His words. The king of Arad, the Canaanite who dwelt in the south, heard that Israel was coming on the road of Atharim. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities." And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them in their and their cities. So the name of that place was called Hormah. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now the children of Israel moved on and camped in Oboth. And they journeyed from Oboth and camped at Ejabarim, in the wilderness which is east of Moab toward the sunrise. From there they moved and camped in the valley of Zered. From there they moved and camped on the other side of the Arnon, which is in the wilderness that extends from the border of the Amorites, for the Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Therefore it is said in the book of the Wars of the Lord, "Waheb and Shufa, the brooks of the Arnon, and the slope of the brooks that reaches to the dwelling of Ar, and lies on the border of Moab." From there they went to Be'er, which is the well where the Lord said to Moses, "Gather the people together, and I will give them water." Then Israel sang this song, "Spring up, O well, all of you sing to it. The well the leaders sank, dug by the nation's nobles, by the lawgiver with their staves." And from the wilderness they went to Matana, and from Matana to Nahaliel, from Nahaliel to Bamoth, and from Bamoth in the valley that is in the country of Moab, to the top of Pisgah, which looks down on the wasteland. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, "Let me pass through your land. We will not turn aside into fields or vineyards. We will not drink water from wells. We will go by the king's highway until we have passed through your territory." But Sihon would not allow Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people together and went out against Israel in the wilderness. And he came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. Then Israel defeated him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from the Arnon to the Jabbok, as far as the people of Ammon, for the border of the people of Ammon was fortified. So Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon and in all its villages. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab, and had taken all his land from his hand as far as the Arnon. Therefore those who speak in Proverbs say, "Come to Heshbon, let it be built, let the city of Sihon be repaired." For fire went out from Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon. It consumed Ar of Moab, the lords of the heights of the Arnon. "Woe to you, Moab! You have perished, O people of Chemosh. He has given his sons as fugitives and his daughters into captivity to Sihon, king of the Amorites. But we have shot at them. Heshbon has perished as far as Dibon. Then we laid waste as far as Nephah, which reaches to Medeba." Thus Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites. Then Moses sent to spy out Jazer, and they took its villages and drove out the Amorites who were there. And they went, turned and went up by the way of Bashan. So Og, king of Bashan, went out against them, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Do not fear him, for I have delivered him into your hand, with all his people and his land, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon." So they defeated him, his sons, and all his people, until there was no survivor left him. And they took possession of his land. Those are the words of the Lord. And here we have before us the account of Israel coming closer and closer to the promised land, now in the last year, the 40th year of their time in the wilderness. We remember last Lord's Day, we heard in the last chapter that Aaron and Miriam have died. And Aaron because of his sin. Through verse 3, that we have, and through verse 3, Israel through Moses inquired of the Lord by making this vow. And the Lord listened and delivered them from the Canaanites. Why were they successful there? It's because they inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered. They trusted in Him. Why did they fail in the last chapter, if you remember? Because they failed to inquire of the Lord and trust in Him. How often, beloved, we are found trusting in ourselves instead of the Lord, trusting in things rather than the Lord, trusting in our strength, trusting in our wisdom, trusting in what we have instead of trusting in the Lord and inquiring to Him. And so we must be, as individuals and as a church, constantly seeking the Lord and inquiring before His throne. And then through verse 9, the people complained again. Very solid theme through Numbers. They were discouraged because they had to go again out of their way. In a sense, they thought their way was straight to the promised land, but they had to go around Edom, which means they had to go to the south and around Edom. They complained again because of this. They weren't getting any closer to the promised land. They were going further out into the wilderness. And so they said they wanted to go back into slavery. They'd rather be in Egypt and not be delivered. So the Lord sent fiery serpents, which when the people were bit, they died. And we have the account of the bronze serpent upon the pole. And when they confessed their sin, the people confessed their sin after being bit, they were saved. They plead that Moses would pray to the Lord, inquire of the Lord, to ask them to save them from this plague. And the Lord answers by the bronze serpent on the pole. And those who looked at it lived. And this pointing to Christ on the cross, as we'll hear in John 3 during the sermon, Christ lifted up, beloved, to be saved as you look at Him, saved from your sin and condemnation. You have to look to Christ alone. And then Israel moved on, making their way through the lands in the wilderness to the promised land through verse 20, in which the Lord again provides water for them as the spring of water and the living water in Christ. And so we too must look to Him for our life. And then through the end of the chapter, we see these major battles of Sihon against Sihon and Og. And it's important for you to remember this battle here at the end, and maybe you can try to connect it to the account of the fiery serpent since it's in the same chapter. Try to remember Sihon and Og and how they were defeated, because the example of Sihon and Og is referred to a lot in the Old Testament. And so you need to, every time we hear it, we're singing in the Psalms, we need to be pointed back to this account where the Lord delivered His people. And I remember first becoming a Christian, you learn about Goliath, David and Goliath. And in evangelicalism, there's a big, everybody loves to talk about David defeating Goliath. And here Israel, or God through Israel, defeating Sihon and Og. But in evangelicalism, a big picture of David versus Goliath. And Goliath is not talked about very much in the Scriptures. But Sihon and Og are. And so we need to remember this account even more than that account, perhaps. And so remember what happens here. In Genesis 15, the Lord promised Abraham that his seed... So what do we learn from Sihon and Og? We learn that promise in Genesis 15, the Lord promised him, Abraham, that his seed would return to the land of Canaan. When the iniquity... When? When the iniquity of the Amorites was complete. And that we see here. 400 years later, God faithful to His promises. And so that's why we sing, and I forget what psalm it is. You know what it is, but it's His faithfulness, His covenant mercy endures forever. That one that repeats that over and over and over, and Sihon and Og are in there because it's declaring His faithfulness. His faithfulness to His covenant that He made with Abraham. And so we remember what it says, Peter said, the Lord through Peter, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you. And so trust in the Lord, beloved, and remember His promises that He will be faithful. Inquire before His throne in prayer and look to Christ, the only Savior who may deliver you from your sin and from your condemnation. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give You praise for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is lifted up onto the cross, who died for our sins as He shed His blood for us to cleanse us of our sin, of all those who believe the truth of the gospel in Him, that He died for our sins and rose from the dead to secure our justification. And Father, we give You praise that we have this illustration of it, of that death on the cross, of the bronze serpent. And Father, we're thankful for the account of the defeat of Sihon and Og, which shows forth You're faithful to Your promises here. And surely Your covenant mercy and faithfulness endures forever. And we give You praise that You're the God who's always faithful to Your promises, always keeping Your promises. And Father, we give You... We exalt Your name. You are the covenant-keeping God. And oftentimes we are found trusting in ourselves, trusting in the things of this world, instead of trusting Your promises. We trust our circumstances and what we see with our eyes instead of trusting You, the Lord who's promised to heal us, to deliver us, to bring us to Yourself, even as we're learning in Romans 8, that You will glorify us together with Christ. And that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And yet we have sinned. And so, Father, we call upon You now to forgive us of our sins and help us by Your Holy Spirit to trust You to forgive us. As You promised, if we confess our sin, You are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we remember the promise that You will cleanse us in our sin as far as the east is from the west. And how now, being cleansed, we are like white as snow. Father, we give You praise for all of this in Your Son Christ. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit You put in our hearts, who is our comforter, who's our guide, who moves us to love You, and we give You praise for this. And Father, we do pray today for Your church. We're thankful for the camp that went on in our presbytery in Colorado this past week, and pray that many who went, including the children and young men and women, that they would have been benefited from it. They would all be blessed and refreshed, coming back to serve you and your church. And we pray for them and ask for your help. And also, Father, we give you praise again for the new church plant in Oklahoma City. We ask that you would grow that group. We're thankful for another group that wants to become a church plant in Houston. And Father, we pray that you'll raise up more families. There's three families so far interested, and they desire to be part of the Reformed Presbyterian Church. We ask that you would bring that about, bring more families to gather together. And Father, we do pray, even now in our preparations for the elders for Synod, not this coming week, but the week after, that you would help us all in our preparations for that and give safety in our travels to and from that meeting of your church. And Father, we give you praise for the evangelism that Dave and Kendall were able to take part in, and the rest of us in our individual lives when we've had the opportunity and sought it out. Father, we ask that you will make the message that has been heard, that you'll make it efficacious by your Holy Spirit, and that some would come to see Christ by coming to worship. And Father, we pray that you'll be with especially the two from the IHOP cult, and that you will grant to them a salvation from that group, deliver them from it, and to your Son, Jesus Christ alone. May you perhaps even use us to bring that about, and others that we come in contact with, Father. And Father, the family that Kendall was able to speak with, we ask that you will have them, give them discernment of the Scriptures as they study these doctrines of grace and Reformed doctrines. And Father, give them wisdom from you, and put their emotion and their false doctrine that they have, whatever it might be, and as we all have some form of that, because we are sinful, Father, put that to death and bring about truth. Shine a light into the darkness of their minds and hearts, just as we pray for ourselves every Lord's Day, and when we pray for the illumination of your Holy Spirit to shine a light into the dark recesses of our hearts where there's sin, and turn us from that sin and turn us to you. And so we pray that we will all be truth seekers, and that you will lead us and help us to instruct others and disciple others, Father, and bring about many disciples through our efforts in Grandview. And may your church grow here as it is throughout the world. And we give you praise because you've promised that you will have even all kings, all nations bow before you and serve you. And so we know that you will grow your kingdom. You are expanding it to the ends of the earth. You're doing that here. And so we pray in confidence and know that you will answer us, that you will bring about more disciples and more children of God. We know that you will do this. And so we pray in faith these things. And Father, we ask that you would heal our bodies, those who are struggling with sickness or muscles or bones, cancers, if we have any. Father, we ask that you'd heal. We ask that you'd be with the Nichols family as they travel this week to Brazil. You would give them safety, not only in their travel, but as they're there, that you'll bless their conversation with their family, especially Carla's family, and that they, by your Holy Spirit, may turn from their sins and turn unto you, to look to Christ who was lifted up on the cross. Just as we pray for all of our extended families who don't know you, of our children, of our parents and cousins and uncles and so forth, Father, we ask that you would bring them to yourself. And Father, we give you praise that you are the God who watches over us, who cares for us, who protects us, who delivers us from our enemies. And Father, we give you praise in all these things, that you're faithful to watch over your children. And Father, in all these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.